It's good to actually talk to you after such a long time. So I hope you are in good health, eh?
I am very well and in very good health, please. And I hope you are too.
Yes, I'm in good health. Now, Professor, you've been quiet after the elections. Tell us, why are you so quiet?
Look, we went to an election, Gibbs. An election which the party I lead prepared for quite thoroughly from our Congress for almost 2.5 years. We were in the communities, we were in the campaign trail, we were building the party. We covered literally every blade of Zimbabwean grass in our efforts to mobilize people to vote for us. Historically, we had been at this since the formation of the MDC in early 2000. And we lost yet again in an election, almost 13 years since the formation of the MDC. And we could not just get up the following day and keep doing the same old things we had been doing for 13 years and which had not delivered a victory or success on the promises of the Working People's Convention. Clearly, this required, in our view, moments of reflection, careful analysis, stepping back. What is it that we did wrong? What is it that made us not gel with the people? What is it that we should do differently? In my view, to just continue to wake up and continue to do the same old things we had done for 13 years to no avail would not be dissimilar to what mentally challenged people do when you go to Ngujeni and they give you a bucket of water with holes at the bottom, and they keep asking you to go and fetch water. You reach the destination, it is empty. You keep doing the same thing. I think that is a bit insane if we had continued to do that. That is why we stepped back and we've been reflecting, we're consulting our structures, consulting people as to what we could do differently. So it was not a silence, we said we were opting out of the political contestation. It is a silence to say we can't continue to do the same things. Mm-hmm. We need to be thoughtful, we need to be careful.
You are saying that we are almost not hibernating but strategizing behind the scenes. So at the end of the day, what really happened? What have you gathered to indicate that you lost the elections because of APC?
Well, what seems clear to us is that the biggest challenge we face as opposition political parties, the biggest challenge we face as the MDC, which stands for the things we stand for, which stands for a complete overhaul of the sort of governance that we have seen over the last 34 odd years, is that our people have got to a stage where they have a difficulty in relating their condition in life to the government that they must elect. You have a situation where a person goes to vote for ZANU-PF today, and the following day he looks for me to say, I have no food, I have no fees for my school children, and he has a conversation. And the mindset is as if you have an obligation to go and put a government which has no responsibility to you and which you expect to deliver nothing to you. And this is, in my view, is the dilemma that we face, how we can reach out to our people for people to understand that a government they elect is a government which has a responsibility to deliver an improvement on their lives, progress in their lives, rather than to be there for the sake of being there and for the benefit of those that they elect. That is the challenge that we face. But more importantly, it is clear to us that the energy, the momentum, the impetus that the democratic movement had in 2000 when the generality of Democrats in Zimbabwe came together from civil society, from politics, to say we have a certain common denominator around which we agreed. That momentum has been eroded over the last 13 odd years. The thing that bound us together when we went to the Working People's Convention in 2000, we have betrayed each other along the way. It was all too easy for us to have a rhetorical, theoretical commitment to those democratic ideas. And regrettably, over the last 13 years, we have demonstrated that among us, there were those who sought power for the sake of power and were not really, in reality, committed to the things we said were contained in the agenda for change. And this explains the continuing fragmentation of the opposition to Mugabe, because not all of us had genuine and sincere commitment to a completely different form of governance, a completely different form of politics as well as economic management. It is as if some of us simply say, as long as I'm not in Mugabe, as long as I have not made people poor, I can mimic all the ZANU ills about governance and politics. It matters not. And this is what has led to the fragmentation of the opposition. What we now need is a realignment, a coming together, in my view, of all those Democrats, whether they are trapped in undemocratic parties, or whether they are disillusioned and are inactive, or whether they are still in the struggle fighting long battles. We need to recapture the energy, the momentum, the impetus of 2000 or 1999 for us to be able to once again regroup and fight ZANU-PF to victory. If we don't do that, if we continue to do the same thing, to fight from our leaky corners, we will get nowhere. If we continue to tolerate deviations from the values and principles that made us or that bound us together at the beginning, and we have no chance, in my view, of actually dislodging the sort of regime that runs Zimbabwe today.
So that brings me to this question about Mr. Moken Tsvangirai, who has actually been appealing to every person who left the MTC to rejoin the party. What are your views on that issue?
Well, I hear the rhetoric about people coming to a big tent, those who supposedly left, which is in itself a misnomer. My view on it is that you cannot invite people to a big tent. It doesn't matter how big it is. As long as it is a rotten tank, as long as it is a tent which stinks to high heaven with dictatorship, with violence, with a violation of everything that we said we stood for against Mugabe, it can be as big as you want. It can contain millions of people. It's not worthy of the numbers that it has. It's better to be in a small tent with thoughtful, committed Democrats who are committed to a complete overhaul of the dictatorship that we have had over the last 34 years of Zimbabwe independence. So I have absolutely no respect. I am absolutely not impressed by the big tent politics, which has no conception of what the struggle against Mugabe is. If you have reduced what should have been indeed a glorious resistance to the Mugabe regime to simply the notion that Mugabe must be removed, let's forget what we remove him with. Let's forget what we do. Let's forget what we manifest ourselves to be. As long as we remove Mugabe, we will then worry about democracy tomorrow. We will worry about good governance the following day. It just does not make any sense at all. If you are Democrats, you must be Democrats in words, you must be Democrats in deeds, you must do the things that you say you are and not behave the opposite. Do not mimic ZANU-PF. Do not beat your own people. Do not be practicing dictatorship. Do not cling to power. That otherwise, there is no moral high ground you occupy. There is actually no difference. You are just on a quest for power for the sake of power without actually the desire, the will, the capacity, or the ability to actually transform the political system from what it is to a system where we will see good governance, where we will see honesty in politics, where we will see integrity, and where we will see a group of thoughtful leaders committed to actually delivering a better life to people of Zimbabwe. All we will have is a group of deceptive politicians in a quest for power for the sake of itself.
So in short here, you are saying there's a lot of dictatorship in the MTCT, and maybe you are saying Mr. Tsvangirai is a dictator, is it?
I am plainly saying if parties are led by leaders who actually exhibit no difference from God, they actually betray the democratic party. We become a mirror image of ZANU-PF. People have no reason to actually stand up and sacrifice for a leadership which is actually exhibiting nothing better than that which we are seeking to change. That is the point that I am trying to make. You can have as big a tent as you claim to have. If it is a tent which looks like ZANU-PF, which smells like ZANU-PF, it is not worthy of support.
Now, turning to what you are saying, some people, some critics will say Professor Ncube's tent is too small to take in President Mugabe and his party compared to this big tent. What is your reaction to that?
It's better to have a smaller tank, rather a smaller tent, fighting the dictatorship diametrically opposed to the dictatorship, committed in ways and deeds to a politics, to an economic management, to a governance system which will overhaul, revolutionize the system that has delivered misery to the people of Zimbabwe, rather than call yourself big or in fact be big, but represent no change at all from that which we seek to change. So in fact, historically, there is absolutely nothing wrong with being small. Indeed, all revolutionary parties are by definition small because they are the vanguard. They are made up of thoughtful citizens, committed citizens, cohesive citizens who are actually bound by a common ideological belief and principles and values. And indeed, historically, the only people who have ever changed the world, who have ever changed countries, are always a group of thoughtful, small, in the sense that you mean citizens, who actually have come up with a program for change. It is never a mass of thoughtless people who actually have ever changed the world.
Now, there are certain people in the MTCT who believe that Professor Ncube destroyed the MTCE, and they are always aligning you to ZANU-PF. You know, what do you think about that kind of talk?
And that gives precisely the point that I make. The moment that you begin to mimic ZANU-PF, if you disagree with ZANU-PF, you are an agent of white people, you are an agent of imperialists, you are a sellout, all sorts of ugly descriptions are attached to you because you dare say to ZANU-PF, I do not agree with you. And if you say you are opposed to ZANU-PF, and the moment other people have a different world view from yours, no, I do not agree with you, then I am a ZANU-PF supporter, I am a sellout, I am this and this. And that is exactly what the problem is. If you are Democrats, your first premise is to defend the right of he who thinks differently from you, even if you are convinced to your marrow that they are wrong. The moment you start labeling them this or that simply because they disagree with you, then you cannot be a Democrat. And that is the fundamental source of difference that we have. You call me ZANU-PF because I dare say to you, you must agree to be bound by collective decisions. You call me ZANU-PF because I dare say we have no moral right to challenge ZANU-PF if we ourselves run militias in our parties to beat up those that dare disagree with us. That is the crux of the matter.
Professor Ncube, what is the future of Zimbabwean opposition politics? Looking at problems in your party, we've got some defections. Of course, we've got Malandri Ncube, then we've got other people, senior officials that have defected to the MDCT. And the MDCT itself has got serious problems. We cannot talk about ZAPO because it seems as if they've got more problems than all of you. So what is the future of the opposition in Zimbabwe?
In a democratic country, Gibbs, in democratic parties, people are free and should be free to move from party to party for whatever subjective and objective reasons they might have at a particular time. And indeed, if you find that ideologically, if you find that in terms of values and principles, you sit uncomfortably, you sit uneasily in a political party, you leave. And that is what democracy is all about. So the fact of departure of people in itself, far from sometimes weakening parties, it actually strengthens parties. I can tell you, without if you have people like Abednego, Bebe, Malandu leaving your party, trust me, you are much stronger. I dare say to you, some of the MDCT difficulties is that they embrace the people who have no capacity to work with anyone, the people who always be me people. And now they are crying, literally screaming, as those people are engaged in destroying their own parties because they have no capacity to actually unify, to work with people. So in itself, as a matter of principle, the departure of people who do not fit in terms of values, people who are not team players, people who cannot be led, because some of these people think that they must be leaders themselves at all times and that they can never be led. One of the basic premises is if you cannot be a follower, you can never be a good leader. So I have no difficulty with all these departures from one party to another. What is important is that a cadership, the core cadership of any political party, must be constituted of individuals, leaders, members who cherish the values and principles of that party. The policies, the things that the glue that binds you together is a common commitment to those values and principles. It's better to be 10 of you and be committed cadres politically, ideologically, than to be 1,000 of you who actually do not agree on anything. And your common denominator is the same, Mugabe must go. You even have no clue what you will do the day after Mugabe is gone because there's nothing that binds you together. So I think that the future of opposition is bright. And I think that as long as Democrats with the same values and principles coalesce in one corner, they have the capacity to be able to provide a viable alternative, organizational skills, and all that it takes to actually win elections.
Now, looking at what you did before the general elections, you actually crafted a coalition with Dumiso Dabengwa's ZAPO party. What happened? We are not hearing anything about that anymore. What's going on?
We continue to have conversations with the ZAPO leadership. We continue to have conversations with leaders of various other political parties in order to examine ourselves. When I say that the last 8 months has been a period of introspection, a period of reflection, this has included conversation, a comparing of notes with Democrats that are in other political parties, including ZAPO. And this is why I keep saying the majority of us are persuaded, are convinced that there is no way we can defeat the hegemonic ZANU-PF as long as each one of us is fighting from our little corner, nipping away at this monster that is our government, that is ZANU-PF, which governs Zimbabwe today. We need to talk to each other and find a way of actually building a broad front of similar-minded Democrats, and I underline, people who are committed to democracy, people who are committed to be a complete antithesis of ZANU-PF. And if we can come together, not just us and ZANU, but everybody else in the political arena, including civil society, who are genuine Democrats, I have no doubt in my mind that that is the only way that we can effectively defeat ZANU-PF.
Now, Professor Weshmengcube, my second last question is, do you see any opposition leader that will actually remove President Mugabe from power in 2018?
It depends what we do together, collectively, between now and then. And I say it doesn't matter who it is. If each one of us are fighting from our little corner, we get nowhere. We need, once again, to come together, to present a single candidate at that next election, supported by all of us, a candidate whose commitment, whose credentials as a Democrat is beyond question. And I have no doubt that if we are able to do that, put forward a candidate as the opposition, a candidate of a united front, I have no doubt in my mind that that candidate will and can, or rather can and will, win the next election in Zimbabwe.
Talking about that candidate, who is it? Is it Professor Ncube or Mr. Tswangirai?
The identity of that candidate, the name of that candidate matters not. What matters is that that candidate must be an undoubted Democrat. He must be an undoubted Democrat. I regret to say I do not classify Mr. Tswangirai in that category.
What do you think about Mr. Tswangirai as a leader of an opposition party?
It is not my responsibility to be talking about leaders of other parties, but you keep asking me about leaders of other political parties. It is, again, not for me. It is not for me to be judging and to be talking about the internal affairs of other parties. All I can say is that we made a judgment on the leadership of Tswangirai in 2005. And that judgment was that he is not the person who is the antithesis of ZANU-PF and who can lead us to a new Zimbabwe. And that judgment we made in 2005. If we had not made that judgment, we would still be having a united NDC today. The fact that you had a split of the NDC in 2005 tells you that some of us never had any confidence from that moment in his leadership. And we should not, 10 years later, be asked about that question.
Mr. Ncube, before we part, do you see yourself as the next president of Zimbabwe, despite coming from, the Ndebele minority tribe, as some people always put it?
One of the things that is implied in everything that I have said is that we need to transcend all these little isms that make it impossible for us to be united in one corner to fight ZANU-PF. The candidate that we must put forward in the next election must be a candidate that knows no ethnicity, that knows no race, that knows no chauvinism. And the constant classification of some of us, not as Zimbabweans, but as this or that small tribe, calls into question our very foundations as a nation. If we are a nation, we must see each other first as Zimbabwe. And only then will we be able to say we can build a truly, truly a common single citizenship of Zimbabweans which knows no distinction of ethnicity, of race, etc., etc. And it is for that reason that I am completely convinced that the great majority of Zimbabweans in the villages, in the townships, are not swayed by the ethnic description of a Zimbabwean. Those who are actually seduced by those arguments are people who are beneficiaries of the ZANU-PF governance, which has been based on discrimination, on marginalization, on selective development of areas based on those isms. And those are the people who fear devolution. Those are the people who fear genuine democracy, which empowers people, because they have been feeding on benefiting from marginalizing other Zimbabweans.
Professor Welshman Ncube, thank you so much for giving me this time to actually interview you. I really appreciate the opportunity that you gave me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gift.